Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Pride, not humility. That's to think that we need to do something physical to help us feel better about ourselves. Get over it. Walk forward with that humility that you don't deserve it. You need to feel that, but walk nonetheless. And you know, there's nothing that breaks you more than when God just blesses you and lavishes you and you are so aware you don't deserve it. It will humble you. So don't try to humble yourself in that sense of flogging and defeating and beating yourself over something. You'll never move forward. Walk with the Lord. Walk mercifully. Walk with understanding for others.
Walk mercifully with the Lord. As you listen to today's message from Pastor Troy, he teaches you that it's prideful to think that you must do something physically in order for you to feel better about yourself or your past. When you continue to try to humble yourself and beat yourself up over past sins, you can't move forward. Pastor Troy encourages you to receive God's grace and forgiveness, knowing that you did nothing to deserve it. Receive this lavish blessing from the Lord and walk forward with Him. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So we're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. We've slowed way down in Hebrews. We've been in 11 for quite some time because we're looking at the lives of these individuals who have demonstrated such great faith and what that means. Why? If you remember in high school, some of you maybe in high school, but for most of us in the room, if you remember high school, you also remember that they had a yearbook. In that yearbook, they would have a section that pointed out maybe the best dressed. And there's a guy and a girl, you know, best dressed guy, best dressed girl all year. They were voted on by their peers. Or cutest couple, most likely to succeed. You know, the hard worker, you know, they're president of this and involved in this and getting this club going and doing all that stuff. And some of those pan out. Some of them aren't. They don't pan out. You go back to a reunion or something and they're still the most likely to succeed guy is still goofing off with the same high school guys he was most likely to succeed with. So it doesn't always pan out. But if God had a yearbook, He would have a very large section called the most unlikely to succeed. Because God, in His business of using people, often takes those that the world looks at and says, there's no way that person could be used. There's no way that person could be saved. There's nothing of value in that person. God is able to take those individuals and cause them to rise above expectations in a way that brings Him glory. Because that's what God does. He brings Himself glory using us. See, we don't bring Him glory. We're just foolish enough that someone might look at us and go, I don't get it. God must be awesome. We shouldn't think that, oh man, I brought God glory, man. I was amazing. No, no, no. We are almost a handicap to God so that God looks so big. God could do that with such common vessels. Think about Jacob. Now we look back and Jacob's like one of the patriarchs. I mean, that's a big guy, big name. The 12 tribes of Israel came through him, but Jacob was the classic manipulator. That's all Jacob was. The classic manipulator, a conniver who got connived himself one day. God got a hold of his heart, straightened him out. So the crooked man was made straight. How about Jonah? We all desire to hear from the Lord, right? I mean, if you thought, man, if I heard clearly from the Lord, that would help so much. Well, he heard clearly from the Lord. And you know what he did? ran the other way, even paid fair because there wasn't enough land for him to run far enough from what God wanted him to do. So there you go. Obedient Jonah? No. But God was able to get his attention and drastically change his life. In fact, Jonah preached because God wanted him to. A nation got saved, and Jonah's heart wasn't fully in it. Jonah was, Lord, I knew it. I knew if I came here and preached, you would save the people. These guys don't deserve to be saved. So God can do some cool things through those who will turn their hearts to him. Greater things than some of these. How about Peter? Peter should have been in the section of the yearbook most likely to stick his foot in his mouth, because that's all Peter did, was stick his foot in his mouth. I'm going to the cross, Peter. I'm Jesus. I'm going to the cross. No, you're not. No, you are not. No way. We won't let it happen. Get behind thee, Satan. You don't know what you're saying. You're not talking the things of God. You are thinking from a human level. And yet God was able to use Peter in great ways. In verse 31, we come to Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Her life was nowhere near on track for success. Not even close. And yet she's listed here in the Hall of Fame of Faith. How is that? Why is that? Well, we're going to look at that and hopefully learn from Rahab about the kind of faith that helps you rise above. Verse 31, we read, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. First, we'll talk about faith to rise above defeat. You ever felt defeated? Obviously, you're defeated. I mean, there's no way out. Rahab's life was going nowhere, and her very existence was being threatened as a citizen of Jericho. They were defeated. God was going to judge them. It was a done deal. So life was over in Jericho. They had heard about, we'll read later, they had heard about this great God. They were already fearful. They knew this was the end of the road. But she lived in this nation of wicked people. And it'd be easier for her to point to everybody else, but she herself had made bad decisions. She was doing the wrong things too. She personally deserved the judgment of God. She was a harlot. So she brought it upon herself. For Rahab to be mentioned here in the Hall of Fame of Faith would be very shocking when you just look at her former life. It'd be a lot like me mentioning Carla Faye Tucker, for those of you who might remember her. She was convicted of the murder of two individuals, her and someone else, brutally murdered back in 1983. Two individuals with a pickaxe. Those who prosecuted said they had never seen anything so gruesome and so horrific. They couldn't imagine the monster that would do something like this. But in prison, Carla Faye had grown up with a horrible, miserable life, misled by her parents, no advantages, every disadvantage. On drugs, partying, all those things, was rarely ever not on drugs. And it wasn't until she went to prison that she said, it was the first time I wasn't on drugs for a period of time. And she said, I could not believe what I had done with my life. She said, I realized I didn't need saving from the death penalty. I needed saving from hell. And she gave her life to Christ. She was used mightily by the Lord in prison. So much so that prosecutors, those who had opposed her and prosecuted her, the brother of one of the victims who was killed, who was so bitter toward her, all came out to her defense later on saying, this is not the same woman. She should not die. Now, she did die. She had to pay the price for her sin, and she did so willingly. But while she had life and in prison, she shared the gospel and shared her testimony. Was a powerful witness for the Lord. And what's sad is Carla Faye Tucker may end up with more rewards than some of us who never went to prison because she had faith in God. She turned her heart to the Lord and she was used by him. Her life was a mess, God used her. So Rahab's life was a mess. But transformation moved her from the side of defeat to the side of victory. In fact, the story of Rahab shows us that nobody is outside the reach of God's grace and his mercy. Nobody is too bad to be saved. That's what we learn from Rahab. The thief, the gangster, the liar, the murderer, you name it. And God will say, touche, can I not save? Is my hand too short that I cannot save? No one is so bad that the grace of God cannot change them and cause their life to become a testimony. And sometimes God shows his grace by using you to demonstrate that grace, rather than judging and getting all harsh and beating someone who's down and possibly beating themselves. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads one to repentance. God may be using you in someone's life. But we do get ourselves into our own trouble. Remember, the Bible says that if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. Now, I know perhaps wives might say, I'd rather him just lust than do it, though. And that's true. But in God's eyes, it's the same sin. Not that, okay, if you already got it here, go for it. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, don't have it here. I guess that was good to make clear, right? Yeah, might as well. It's been in here. I'm going to go for it. What God is saying is what's in your heart leads to an action. And it's the same thread. It's the seed. Lust is the seed that blossoms or grows when full blown into action. We think, we ponder on these things, we hold on to them, and then it comes out. Sin begins in the heart. Jesus even said about anger. If you're angry without a righteous cause, it's the same as murder. Now, a righteous cause isn't fair. Oh, he didn't show up. I'm angry at him. He made me late. I'm angry. And you take and you vent your frustration. That's not the righteous cause. Righteous cause would be, I can't believe what's going on in the Middle East with certain groups killing children and family and the innocent. Now, it's not a personal thing. I hate John and Bob and whoever. It's I hate sin. I hate these things with a passion. That's a righteous cause.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
But if your anger isn't directed in that category, it's sin. Because all you're doing is looking out for number one. And you're getting angry when number one isn't taken care of. I'm angry. Sin begins in the heart, and it's murder. Lust begins in the heart. It's adultery. Full blown. Rahab's sin and whatever it was had become action. Whether it was a lust, probably not likely. Maybe it was a need. And this is the way to fulfill it. This is what I need to do. Maybe it was feel like she needed to provide in some way. We don't know. But she became a harlot. And in that culture, once you were down, you were out. There was no recovering. There was no coming back. Once you had a stigma attached to your name, it was over. Wasn't like when Jesus came and began to give dignity to those who were the downcast and the beaten and the defeated. So we're all guilty when you think about it, because in our hearts are all these things. Until you realize you're guilty and defeated, until you realize you are guilty and defeated, you can't rise up and be saved and spared and become an overcomer. You have to admit defeat. You have to admit that you're the one who needs help, But once we realize we're guilty, you don't have to wallow in it. We don't have to remain in our guilt, because in that place, there's only defeat. If you're always revisiting why you shouldn't advance, why you shouldn't grow, why the Lord shouldn't love you, it's not going to change that He loves you. It's not going to change that He has a plan for you. But what it will do is will keep you from walking in it. You'll be wallowing in it. You don't have to. You don't need to do that. I think it's one of the reasons that God wants to keep us busy about our Father's business. It keeps our mind off of us as we consider others. And that's what the Scriptures teach us. Consider others more than yourself. You do that. You think about that. You will feel a lot better about yourself, by the way. Because when you lay your head on your pillow, you may still think, yeah, I stink. But I did do a lot for someone else today. There's some value in that. And there's reward in it too. So we've got to get away from that defeating kind of an attitude that God wants to draw us away from, where we're thinking about ourselves, where we understand we are guilty and we keep hashing over it, and be lifted up to rise up and walk in newness of life, the life that God gives us. God's grace is poured out and we have an opportunity to respond. When we respond to God's grace, it's like a chemical reaction or a spiritual reaction takes place. There is newness of life. And listen to what Romans 8:1 says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. Do you need to condemn yourself? There is no condemnation. Not from you, not from the devil, certainly not from the Lord. So, how arrogant would it be for us when God says, I forgive you, I see it no more, let's go forward, for you to say, I must be judged, I must be condemned, I must flog myself and not feel good right now. That's pride, not humility. That's to think that we need to do something physical to help us feel better about ourselves. Get over it. Walk forward with that humility that you don't deserve it. You need to feel that, but walk nonetheless. And, you know, there's nothing that breaks you more than when God just blesses you and lavishes you and you are so aware you don't deserve it. It will humble you. So don't try to humble yourself in that sense of flogging and defeating and beating yourself over something. You'll never move forward. Walk with the Lord. Walk mercifully. Walk with understanding for others. Life's hard. We don't all come from the most advantageous of backgrounds. In fact, our second point would be faith. We have the faith to rise above disadvantages. Rahab was from a nation that was about to be defeated. That's a disadvantage. The whole nation was an immoral nation. That's all she had to learn from, to work with. Turn around and blame the nation. But she was also a woman. And like I said earlier, that was a disadvantage then, for sure. They didn't have rights groups, activists to say, let's take those who have been mistreated, those who are weaker, and we're going to strong arm so they have balance and justice and there's equality. They didn't have that back then. You were down, you got kicked. And women were down, especially harlots. They were down, they were mistreated, they were taken advantage of, they were not thought well of at all. She was a woman who was very unlikely to have a chance in life to turn it around. There was no one who would give her that opportunity. And then you enter God. You may feel that you have great disadvantages. I don't know your background. Maybe you feel like I'm too old. I can't keep up with everybody. Or, man, I didn't come from a home where the Bible was taught. I feel so behind in the Scriptures. Whatever disadvantage you may feel you have, I have no guidance. Whatever your disadvantage, God is full of surprises. And God takes those who are despised, rejected, and low, and He repairs them, and He uses them in great ways. Why would He do that? Why would God do that? Well, think about this. When a doctor performs surgery, let's say brain surgery, he's in a nice hospital that's sterile, perfect temperature. They've all got the gloves and everything they need to keep all bacteria and germs away. And they've got the perfect environment. It's all sterile, but we still pray for them. We know that this is touchy stuff. And so when they come through and they do a great job, we applaud them and we think, wow, awesome, you're an awesome surgeon. But they had a lot of help. I mean, the conditions were all perfect. But you take a surgeon out in the middle of Africa with no electricity, in the back of maybe a pickup truck that's low on fuel, give him a Swiss Army knife, and he's got to drain an abscess or do something that requires surgery and cutting and repair. When he pulls that off, we think he's amazing. That man's amazing. I mean, he had nothing to his advantage. Nothing gave him an advantage. There was no favor there for him. And yet he pulled it off. He was limited to tools of poor quality. See, God likes to operate that way. He likes it. He loves it. Because, see, then when he uses broken tools, where the world would look and say, I don't get it. I know God's with him, but I don't understand it. When that happens, God gets more glory. God is seen as even more amazing when he uses imperfect, deficient people. God is glorified. So if you're one of those who would always look, God can't use them. God shouldn't use them. No way. He should use me is the idea. You're on the wrong side of the wall. You're in the wrong place. You have the wrong mindset. God uses those. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus didn't walk up to Matthew and go, Matthew, change your ways, son. Stop collecting taxes. Get back on the side of Israel. In a year, I'm going to watch you. And in a year, you can follow me. I'll use you. No, no. In the pit of his sin, in that place where he was at the table, the Lord said, follow me. That was it. No convincing, no arm twisting, follow me. And if that was what was in his heart, Matthew, and it was, got to follow the Lord and be used. At first, he didn't know what to do. Just had a party. But his party wasn't with the religious elite. It was with more tax collectors and sinners. That's all he knew. And so the religious leaders looked, oh, look who he's hanging out with. Man, well, who is he supposed to hang out day one? He's growing, he's learning. Later on, he'll be hanging out with the disciples, but they were nothing at first. There was a lot to learn from Matthew. Don't look at the smallness of your talent, the limitations of your life. Look at the greatness of God, the limitlessness of him. When he says, follow me, follow. And don't worry about who else is or isn't. Because in his hands, you become very likely to succeed. I don't care your disadvantages. From zeros to heroes. Like David's mighty men. We look back and we see their exploits and all the great things that they did. And we hear how amazing they were. The battles they took on. Single-handedly. We go, man, mighty men, no wonder. But let me read to you where they started. 1 Samuel 22, 1 through 2. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him, so that he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So all the disgruntled, indebted, frustrated people, how would you like 400 of those to join you? That's a way to start a church. We just want a bunch of angry, bitter people who are frustrated with their current church leadership. Bring them here. Let's start. That's the army David got to start with.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.